3, I'll read through the policy packages per program area. Starting with the unemployment insurance division, they had 4 packages. 3 of them are technical. Package 090 is reflecting anticipated savings from the Smart Buy initiative. LFO is recommending approval. The second package, 095 per Scenic, this is just a placeholder package. There is no adjustment in this budget at this time. Just flagging for members that this is one of the 12 participating agencies, and there will likely be budget action later in session in a different bill for this agency. Package 302, fraud control. They requested establishing 2 revenue agents to pursue collection and establish an information systems specialist to enhance their fraud tracking software. LFO is recommending approval of the package with 2 changes. 1, keeping the positions as limited duration. They currently have these positions and had requested to make them permanent, and modifying the package for PERS. The reason for recommending the continued limited duration, twofold. 1, because they are part of the Scenic project on the ISS position. I want to take another look at what their need is in information systems in 07-09. And on the revenue agents, given the decline in the UI payments that should be going out, we want to take a look at the effectiveness of collections and what's left outstanding to collect. So that's the reason for the limited duration positions. Package 801 is the standard PERS and Attorney General fee adjustments. Mm-hmm. And those are the recommendations for unemployment insurance. Moving on to the business and employment services, page 5. Again, 4 packages here. Package 070 is reflecting a decline in revenue, the Jobs Plus program, phasing out the positions and limitation, as well as some one-time money from the Groundfish transitional income from federal funds, so phasing out 21 positions. Package 090, again, the Smart Buy initiative, anticipated savings. Package 303 is establishing 25 limited duration positions to deal with grants and contract workload. This is a package that the agency brings forward. Every biennium, they hire folks as needed. Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Could I go back to the last package, 070, just to remind myself of the conversation? It seems like 1,000 years ago we talked about this. The Groundfish transitional program, that was one-time money, was it not?
I believe it was for 3 years, 2 or 3 years.
And it was federal money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the Jobs Plus, that's a policy decision, and we're going to phase these folks out over what period of time?
It's a federal decision, too.
But that's federal money, too.
No.
Well.
Mr. Chair and Senator Johnson, the Jobs Plus money was funded through a diversion of the UI tax money.
That's
And the reason this was phasing out, it was anticipated that all of the funds, or most of the funds, would have been expended by June 30, except for about $500,000 that would have carried into 05-07 to finish paying off individuals that were participating. Those balances have been reforecasted, but that decision is still pending as to what to do with those remaining funds.
Thank you.
And
go ahead, Senator Wesley.
If I could, Mr. Chair, is my understanding still correct that some of the features, attributes, if you will, from Jobs Plus are being incorporated into Jobs? Is that a fair description?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Westland, actually, no. The DHS Jobs Plus program continues within Jobs, their jobs, their overall Jobs program. So the Jobs Plus for DHS isn't at issue this session.
Okay.
It will continue as it goes. Oh, I'm sorry. This is Debbie Lincoln, Director of the Employment Department. Thank you.
And I got so distracted with all the hand signals and watching these guys all jump around to get you to identify yourself. Would you say your answer one more time?
Mr. Chair and Senator Johnson, there are 2 Jobs Plus programs. One is in DHS as part of the DHS overall Jobs Welfare Reform Program. It's not affected this biennium. It continues as it always has. The UI Jobs Plus program goes away, though there is a bill, House Bill 3307, which will be coming to, I believe, the House Budget Committee that reconsiders a little bit of that.
Okay. Thank you.
Her short answer is Senator Westland, you were egregiously mistaken again. You have misidentified not only the program, but the department
that.
It's in.
I just
want to interpret that for you.
Yeah, thanks.
Mr. Chair, continuing on page 5, finishing up package 303, LFOs recommending approval of the limited duration positions as adjusted for the PERS rate adjustment. And again, package 801 on page 6 is the PERS rate for the base employees as well as the adjustments for modified attorney general fees. Moving on to child care on page 7, four packages here as well. Again, package 070, revenue shortfalls. The projected federal revenue is relatively flat at about $118 million. Those resources did not cover the essential budget level, so we're phasing out limitation just to bring it in line with projected federal revenue. Package 090, reflecting the Smart Buy initiative savings again. Package 301, the Child Care Contribution Tax Credit. This will be the first biennium that the agency is able to phase in any of this limitation and implement a pilot program. So this is establishing $1.5 million in expenditure limitation for that tax credit. LFO is recommending approval with the understanding that DAS would unschedule $1 million of the expenditure limitation pending the sale of all of the tax credits available in 2005 and 6, and directing them to report into the emergency board on the implementation of the pilot program. Package 801, again, is the standard PERS and general fee reductions. Moving on to the Office of Administrative Hearings. For them, just the two technical packages for the Smart Buy and the PERS and Attorney General fees. There were no policy packages requested in this program area. Moving on to Workforce and Economic Research. Again, no additional policy packages added, just the two technical ones for Smart Buy and the PERS and Attorney General rate reductions. That concludes the financial portion of the recommendation, Mr. Chair.
Any questions? Concerns?
I just, I'm hoping for the policy option packages, well, particularly the 302 one that we're able to identify results as based on doing those revenue agents and making sure that what we use that money for is indeed what we used it for and that we got some improved results as a result of doing this package.
Mr. Chairman, yes, those folks are on board right now, so they are part of our tracking of our performance, and we will continue to track that and come back next session at any time to let you know how that worked out.
Great. Thank you. Okay, any no objections to that? We'll go on from that portion of the budget.
Okay. Would you like to move to performance measures or budget notes?
Let's go to the budget notes and we'll go to the performance measures.
All right. On item 3 of the memo outlined, the first performance measure I alluded to in the recommendations before is just having the agency report in on the implementation of the Child Care Contribution Tax Credit to the emergency board by September 2006. The second budget note, many of you probably recall the conversation that the Joint Committee had concerning the distribution of the federal child care dollars into other agencies. This note is requesting that employment work with the Department of Human Services and Commission on Children and Family to review Oregon statutes and the framework in which those programs are being delivered and bring back recommendations to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee no later than the fall of 2006.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Johnson.
I presume that there will be a commensurate budget note in the other agencies as well.
Okay. The idea is to, once again, perhaps, but enjoy ourselves by reevaluating early childhood services and regulation, make sure we're doing it the best way possible.
Well, knowing, Mr. Chair, knowing that you didn't participate in the full discussion when the committee was together, we visited on this subject at some length, and I think that this budget note is reflective of many of the questions that were asked about duplicative programs in all three agencies and the apparent, if not real, disconnect between activities conducted, and perhaps that there's a more efficient way to look at the delivery of these services to children.
Worth a look. Any Any further discussion on the budget notes? Any objection? Senator Berger?
No, I think that Senator Johnson is right. That was probably in view of many agencies and not just this one, but that was the discussion that took place.
Very good. All right. Approve. We'll move forward.
Moving on to performance measures, the final two pages of your packet. Starting with performance measures 3 and 4, I guess overall I would say that during the discussions of the Joint Committee, I think the committee was overall happy with the measures that the agency was bringing forward, just makes a few slight revisions to get some more detail in certain areas. So measures 3 and 4, recommending that these be deleted and kept internally. There will be the standard customer service measure added that's on page 3 of this report. So if the agency wants to keep their specific program ones internally, that was fine. Just below performance measure 4, we're recommending that they insert a cost per placement measure. I believe they're tracking this measure internally, and just have them report it to the legislature. Moving 3 down, asking them to insert for the UI program's cost per claim. Again, I believe they're tracking this measure internally. Just wanted to note it and bring it forward to the legislature.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Johnson.
Would this cost per claim include all the costs related to it, including AG fees? Or I just am trying to get the universe of the costs that would be tracked.
Okay. Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, this would be principally the cost, the administrative cost, and the program costs for our initial claims and the continued claims. We do have other sections of the agency that are considered unemployment insurance. That's tax, it's fraud control, things like that. But the bulk of our positions and the amount of money we spend are in those two areas. And so we're limiting it to that major portion of the program.
We need your name for the record, I believe.
Sorry. For the record, my name is Greg Hickman. I'm Deputy Director of the Employment Department.
Mr. Chairfall.
Senator Johnson.
Then does that yield a true picture of cost per claim if you're segregating costs into different parts of the agency and reporting only a portion of them?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Johnson, we think it does. The other thing, we do track costs of tax and fraud control, as we just talked about, hearings. The bulk of the claims don't go through any kind of hearings. When we really drill down into the measures that we collect, a claim that does go all the way through adjudication and a hearings, lower and higher appeals authority, and even to the Court of Appeals, we could add that cost in. But to get a really good picture of generally how the department does, we limit it to initial and weeks claimed. But we can come back at any time and add on those costs for appeals and adjudication.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Chair, moving on to the second page. I think the discussion around the performance of the Office of Administrative Hearings, overall the Joint Subcommittee was pleased with that. What we're proposing to add here is recognizing the other agencies that the Central Panel serves. The measures that had been in here for the Office of Administrative Hearings was dealing primarily with UI claims or unemployment insurance claims only. So we're suggesting that they bring forward their internal measures on how they are serving those other contract service agencies. So again, bringing forward percentage of orders issued within the standards, average number of days to issue the order, and the cost per hearing for those that they are serving.
No comments? Moving on.
That concludes my recommendation.
I had a question on the child care one, child care division. They're using the, and I apologize for asking this question since I did not participate in the committee discussion. That says percentage of family child care facilities required to have a health and safety on-site review. That's kind of a numerical issue there. I guess I was wondering about, Is there concern in terms of the department inspecting these facilities, getting through all the facilities over a certain time period? Is that important? Or is that what implied in that performance measure?
Mr. Chairman, that is the concern. Our number one responsibility with the child care division is to ensure the safety of child care, and so those on-site reviews are critical to do that. Tracking this performance measure ensures that we are aware when if resources, for example, were to be reduced significantly enough so that we'd stop we start missing inspections. So, for example, the federal government, as Monica mentioned, is not planning to pass on as much revenue in this area as it has in the past, so we're going to have to track pretty closely that we are able to keep up those reviews at 100%.
You get through every facility, every biennium?
Mr. Chairman, yes, we do. Every licensed facility, I believe. Is that right?
Right.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay. When they renew their license, some renew it 1 year, some renew it 3 years. So we're able to get through those.
You inspect the facilities physically.
That's right, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, very good.
And Mr. Chairman, I would also note when LFO reviewed this, considered proposing internal measures on affordability and availability, but I would note for the committee that those are benchmarks. So those are reported to the legislature in a different area, so chose not to include those in this particular report. That information is available and reported.
Okay. Mr. Chair, one of the questions that came up was about other funds and contributions that were made into your child care services. Do you remember that? There was a $1.7 million other funds child care quality question. And those are funds that are citizen contributions to the tax credit. Do you remember that?
Yes, now I remember. Thank
because
you.
Because that was that we had that in-depth discussion. It started off with the 5,000 licensing and certification, and then the inspections of the 5,000, and then it grew to, well, what are those other funds?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Berger, that's the child care tax credit, and Monica mentioned it back on page 8 of her presentation as package. What's her package number on that?
That's Senator Berger's package 301 in the child care.
Oh, excuse me. Page 7. Yeah. It's actually we're anticipating the $1.5 million, and that's we sell tax credits as a way to get contributions for pilot projects on quality initiatives, and we are in the process of issuing an RFP in Lane County to set up the first pilot project, so we will be back to report to you by September 6th, I believe you said, on that program.
Mr. Chair, are you ready for a motion?
Yes, I think so. You done, Senator Berger? We've got three people. Let's do it.
Okay. I think this is how you want to do this. That I would move the committee's receipt and approval of the LFO recommendations and move Senate Bill 5582, including the budget notes and performance measures, as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Sounds pretty good to me.
Okay.
Satish, you have any comments for the record at all?
No.
BAM has no problems with our great work that LFO has done and the agency has done and the people that sat on this committee long before I came into this room. I appreciate all the good work. With that, no objections. Budget approved. Thank you very much.
Very much.
And meeting adjourned.